always a pleasure to welcome to the show NFL insider, three-time Pro Bowler, the New York Giants' all-time leading rusher, he may add, or I may anyway, and the star of a recently released unbelievable Geico commercial. Please welcome Mr. Tiki Barber. Hey, Tiki, how are you?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you all?
Good, good. I was watching the television set the other day, and there you were pretending to be a barber in a Geico commercial, and it was an excellent. You did an excellent job of acting. I for sure, A, thought you were a barber, legit barber, and B, I thought you were legitimately excited to have more clients at the end of that commercial.
See, I am a barber in surname only, not in reality. And I can't tell you how fun that was. As fun as it looked on television, it was as fun as it was to actually shoot it. Because those guys were game to get jacked up. I mean, it was their hair looked horrible when it was all said and done. But it came out funny. I was talking to a buddy last night because we were watching the game, and it came on. And he said, and I said, the beauty of this commercial is that you don't have to have the sound on. It's just funny to see it. Like, visually, it's funny.
Yeah.
So kudos to Geico and the Martin Agency, which actually put that commercial together, because it turned out fantastic.
Yeah, it's very funny. Appreciate you doing this, Otik. We did a Twitter poll question this morning, and it was appropriate because, you know, I guess Matt Ryan being the outsider, you got three of the most successful quarterbacks of our generation, maybe four, but three specifically in the playoffs. All three of them have Super Bowls, a couple of them multiple Super Bowls, and one guy that only has one in Aaron Rodgers, maybe having the best, I don't know, second half of a season that I've ever seen, and was lights out again yesterday. But who do you like in as far as quarterbacks in this, as far as who's left anyway? Who do you like?
It's funny. It's hard not to like any of them. But interestingly, Big Ben, who has two Super Bowls, obviously won one when he was really young. He didn't really do anything. The second one, he was fabulous against the Cardinals in Tampa Bay, where he threw that touchdown to Santonio Holmes. And his pedigree, his history is amazing. But they're not winning necessarily because of him. They're winning because Le'Veon Bell is such a stud. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen this where no one else takes a carry. He had 30 carries. He had 170 yards. But nobody else takes a carry for this team. So they're not winning because of Big Ben. He's facilitating a lot of them, but they're not. Then you go to New England, and Tom didn't have a great day. Threw two interceptions against a very stout, the number one ranked defense against Houston. And Deion Lewis fumbled a couple of times. That game was closer than it probably should have been. And if it wasn't for those turnovers, Houston doesn't score at all. They scored all of their points. At least, well, they had one field goal early, but all the other points in this game came off a turnover, so it was self-inflicted mistakes. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is ridiculous, even though he did throw an interception for the first time in 2 months yesterday. I probably would take him, but it's hard to discount what Matt Ryan is doing right now. Yeah, he doesn't have a Super Bowl, and he kind of doesn't fit in the conversation of the other three guys that we were just talking about, but he's likely the MVP. And you saw that no matter what happens in a game, and it was tight early with Seattle, They find a way to just be explosive. And all of those guys are smart. Their running backs are smart. They're football aware, and they make big plays in timely moments. And they end up, you know, beating comfortably one of the best defenses in the last 5 years, the Seattle Seahawks. So I'm probably going to take Aaron Rodgers, but interestingly, Matt Ryan is very close second, and Tom and Ben Roethlisberger are probably the last two out of the four that are left.
Yeah, and Atlanta gave it to the Seahawks this weekend, gave it to them good too. What's the difference between Atlanta, you know, years past where they start off hot and they fade, don't make the playoffs, or make the playoffs and they're one and done? Because they seem to be a whole lot better, playing with way more confidence, and it seems like this kind of effort is sustainable from this team for the first time in many years.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's their defense. You remember last year they started hot. Last season they started hot. They were like, man, we're going to have the coach of the year in Quinn, and hell, they're going to get back to the postseason. And then they started fading. They faded hard. They didn't even make the playoffs. It was because their defense fell apart. And their defense isn't – they're not world beaters right now, but they don't need to be because they've somehow turned into this opportunistic team. The kid Deion Jones, he falls into interceptions all the time. And when you have that mentality and you have that ability to make plays and cause turnovers at timely moments, get some pressure on him. You know, Dwight Freeney still showing up for this team in pretty effective ways. You can win in the postseason. So you don't have to be great, You just have to be opportunistic. So their defense is opportunistic, and their offense was the best in the National Football League this year. And so that combination is working for Atlanta. And if Matt Ryan keeps playing at the level that he's playing, and Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman, their two running backs, keep being playmakers and mismatch mavens for this team, they can get to the Super Bowl. I mean, they can beat Green Bay because they can outscore them. And that's the biggest thing. Can you outscore Green Bay? I think Atlanta can.
Tiki, talking about how great their offense is, and they just picked apart the Legion of Boom. And just explain to me real quick, Tiki, how does Sean McDermott, Sean McVay, Doug Marrone, and Anthony Lynn get a job over Kyle Shanahan?
No idea. Absolutely no idea. It's urgency. It is a expediency that a lot of teams show a lack of patience. Because Kyle Shanahan, some of the plays that he designed, like the touchdown, the zone beater to Tevin Coleman in the left end zone, it was their second to last touchdown. It was perfectly designed. You have the running back coming out of the backfield with pace, so even if there's a blitzer coming, you're going to be able to get the ball off to him. You know it's a zone. The safety has to stay in the middle of the field. The corner or the flat defender has to cover the tight end coming out of the backfield. There's nobody to cover a running back. So what he's been able to design has been a fantastic. And so I know that the odds-on favorite to get the 49ers job is Josh McDaniels, but he'll be a retread in some ways. He went to Denver, remember, and he failed, like miserably failed. Maybe he learned from that. But Kyle Shanahan has a pedigree. Obviously, his dad was a coach. He has tons of resources and football knowledge from being in the game for so long. And what he's doing in Atlanta and creating this offense has been a marvel to watch. I definitely believe he should be a head football coach in the National Football League. It's a shame that a couple of these other teams made quick decisions on who they wanted to be without having a chance to interview him, because they can't get interviewed until after next week, if at all.
So let me ask you a question then. We go back to Green Bay and Dallas. It was a hell of a game. It's easily the best pure football game that we've had in these playoffs. Take nothing away from Steelers and Chiefs yesterday, but that was a kick fest, right? That was a field goal bonanza. So
it's what you would have expected, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Kansas City has the 24th ranked defense, but the 7th ranked scoring defense. So they give up yards. They just don't let you score touchdowns. That's exactly what we saw.
So, like, bend, don't break. They're a bend, don't break team on defense.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is what they said yesterday. I'm totally stealing that from the broadcast. A bend, don't break defense. But what I'm interested in is your response to, you know, was this, what did they go, 13-3 on the season? Dallas Cowboys exceeded all expectations when it comes to both of their rookies and Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott. You know, you were playing with house money for the better part of the season, knowing that, hey, you know, Tony Romo's out and you're the best team in your division, you're the best team in your conference. So lots of good things to be taken from the season. Losing in their first round of the playoffs is a little bit different, because obviously the expectations were greater than probably, their fate. But at the same time, you ran into a buzzsaw in Aaron Rodgers, who's, you know, he's killing everybody. So at the same time, is it safe to say still a great season? If you're the Cowboys, are you really happy with the direction of this team, or are you really pissed off because you couldn't get it done?
I think as players, you're upset because you know that the window of some of your key guys, like Jason Witten, even Romo to an extent, because he's likely to be gone. Now, he didn't play at all. He wasn't going to play at all. But he's likely to be somewhere else next year. So that feeling of these vets who were there for a while, who slowly were building the foundations, and now these young kids, there's a young offensive line with Tyron Smith and Zach Martin and now Zeke behind him and Dak Prescott that they're now running with. This was a window for all of that to kind of culminate in a Super Bowl run. But the problem is you run up against a team that just, they feel like it can't be beat right now in Green Bay. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys did everything they could to come back and win this game. I mean, it was 21-3. Right? They're getting blown out. I mean, this is one of those games you almost slip off if they can't figure out a way to turn it around. But they did. They turned it around. They brought the score back even.
Yeah, you thought it was over early, didn't you?
Yeah, you thought it was over early, but then it became a game. And then it was exciting, right? It was back and forth, and you tie the game. The Packers kick the go-ahead field goal. The Cowboys come down and tie it up, and then Aaron Rodgers, your defense is doing its job. It's 3rd and 20. Third and 20.
Yeah.
But Aaron Rodgers completes this ridiculously perfect throw. He didn't throw it too hard, didn't throw it too soft so it floated out of bounds. He just whipped it right where it had to be. And Jared Cook made an unbelievable catch 36 yards downfield, which allowed Dan Bailey hit, or, Mason Crosby to hit the 51-yard winner. I mean, how do you beat that? And I know that the critics right now are talking about, oh, well, Dak should have spiked the ball on first down after they got that first down. I mean, you did everything right, right? You got to point to something. That's what people are going to point to, why they lost, because you, quote, left Aaron Rodgers too much time on the clock. I mean, forget that. Aaron Rodgers is just a flat-out baller. He's an ass-kicker in critical moments, and he made an unbelievable play, and they made an unbelievable catch, and then kicked the game-winning field goal. So is there consolation for the Cowboys right now? Hell no. I mean, this hurts. It stings, because you did everything you were supposed to do to win the game. You just got beat by a better squad.
Teek, you played with a lot of kickers in your day. Is it time for us to give them maybe a little bit of love? Because nobody's talking about the pressure kicks that Mason Crosby drilled from 50-plus yards. Dan Bailey, to tie the game, drilled a huge pressure kick as well.
Yeah, normally kicks are super boring, Ash, but you know, the end of that game might have been one of the most exciting kickoffs I've seen in a long time.
Is it time for us to give them a little bit of love? Because we like to point the blame at them right away when they miss a kick, but those are some damn good kicks yesterday in that game.
I tell you, you have to, especially Mason Crosby, who has not, I mean, he hasn't missed a postseason field goal in 23 attempts. I mean, think about that. I mean, he's perfect. You know, you get yourself in position, and even that 56-yarder, as he's lining up for it, I'm like, man, if he misses this, the Cowboys got the ball at the 50-yard line. I mean, they're basically turning around and winning. There was zero hesitation from Mike McCarthy. There was no doubt in his mind. And so we know in Green Bay and in that Green Bay organization and coaching staff and players, when he walks out on the field, they know that the ball's going through. They don't even have to think about it. It's great to be that way. And I think a lot of the kickers in this postseason are that way. Matt Bryant for the Atlanta Falcons, he's the same way. I mean, I played with him. He's so old. But he's solid. And he made his first Pro Bowl. He's 41 years old. He just made his first Pro Bowl. So kickers this postseason will play a significant role in the outcome of these games, as we obviously saw in Pittsburgh. They didn't score a touchdown. It was all by field goal. And so if you don't have a reliable one, or he misses one of those, then Chris Boswell, the kicker for the Steelers, if he misses one of those, they lose this game. So it's important. It's so important. We just don't give it enough credence and enough attention. But at this point in the season, you have to.
We've covered Pitt, KC. We've talked Green Bay, Dallas, Atlanta, Seattle a little bit. We haven't talked New England, Houston. I don't know if we want to, because it wasn't a great game, and Tom Brady wasn't at his finest. But a little bit on Brock Osweiler, because he's been one of the sad stories in the NFL this season.
Yeah.
Signs that contract, bunch of guaranteed money. He's owed 19 if he plays, 25 if he doesn't. And it sure sounds like and looks like after his 3-interception performance for, 180, 190 yards, and was god-awful the other day against New England. And I know it's New England, but you know, that's been the book on him all season long. Is it a foregone conclusion that they value the roster spot enough that they would give up that $25 million and go with Tom Savage next year in Houston?
God, it's so hard. It's so hard to justify that. I think he'll be given every opportunity in the offseason to learn the scheme. The scheme doesn't suit him very well. Which given the receiving core, it's to push the ball downfield. I mean, they drafted Will Fuller. I don't know if you guys saw Will Fuller.
Hang on a second. Hang on. George is laughing. Yeah. And I think because he's only had a year to learn the scheme.
Yeah, and no, the scheme is just to throw the ball like higher than your stomach, Teek. Yeah. He's a guy who's like 6'8", and he can't even throw the ball.
You know what? I got to tell you what, George. I almost feel like being 6'8 hurts him. Because think about the trajectory of having to of how a ball comes out of your hand as a wide as a quarterback. It goes up, and then it peaks, and then it hits where it's supposed to be. Because he's so tall and his release point is so high, some of those intermediate routes are hard to throw because he's throwing from so high. And with his smaller receivers, I mean, think about it. DeAndre Hopkins is not a huge guy. Will Fuller, the guy I was talking about, who is a blazer from Notre Dame, he's a small guy. Grimes is. I mean, you look at all these guys who aren't big receivers who kind of don't match him. And so he's having a hard time pushing the ball downfield. That's why his yards per completion are so horrendous. And he must have something with Rutgers. You know, all of his interceptions were Rutgers defenders, Rutgers players that the Patriots had in college, or all three of his interceptions. He feels lost to me. It's like he's out there looking at a defense as it's being presented to him, and he doesn't know what he's looking at. And so then he's just guessing. Now he's playing backyard football. Like, all right, I think this guy's coming open. All right, I'm going to lead it out in front of this guy. But you're not realizing that the coverage is designed for you to throw it to that spot that actually is not a void. And so can he learn it? I hope so, because it's a lot of money to waste. You can't cut him because it accelerates too much on your cap. And you know you're stuck with him, but you can't have a $25 million guy sitting on the bench. It's a dire situation, but it's what happened with bad management. And the Houston Texans had a bad decision around Brock Osweiler, who really only had six games when he was in Denver to show that he was worth 100 and whatever million they gave him, with 37 guaranteed. It clearly wasn't worth it, and it's a lesson to a lot of organizations who are taking someone else's property and trying to make them your star.
It's why you should never buy pants for someone else on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Like,
you don't know his true waist,
yeah,
or inseam, you're going to screw it up. Trust me, you're going to screw it up.
Tiki Barber, our guest. Tiki, off the field. Well, first of all, let me get Super Bowl predictions. You got Pittsburgh, New England, Green Bay, Dallas, AFC, NFC. Who's in the Super Bowl now?
You know what? I had Pittsburgh as my preseason team, so I'm going to stick with Pittsburgh from the AFC. I think New England, as we saw, is a little bit vulnerable if you're aggressive with them. So I'm going to say Pittsburgh, even on the road. I'm going to say Atlanta. I mean, I think Atlanta can outscore Green Bay. So Pittsburgh, Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And last but not least, because you're a team guy, you've been in a team dressing room. What happens in the room stays in the room. I don't know if you saw Antonio Brown and what he did yesterday, where he recorded the post game. What's that?
All 16 minutes of Facebook Live.
Did you watch it?
I was just worried, like, how many naked guys is he going to get in the background of this thing?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like live. It's not like edited live. This thing is like live.
Who was the guy from Minnesota a couple years ago, and you saw his...
Oh, Vashante Shanko.
Yeah, man.
He was a teammate. Yeah. Vashante was blessed.
Yeah, he was. He was, sure. I saw that, and I'm like, I wouldn't even be embarrassed if that
no
were
kidding.
Me. Yeah. But you bringing a cell phone into the dressing room, taping that, putting it on Facebook Live, is he going to be in trouble with his teammates, or is it Antonio Brown, so it's okay?
He's Antonio Brown, so he's going to get in trouble. Not with his teammates, probably the coach. I don't know if you listen to the whole thing. I don't know if you watch it or listen to it. There's a point after they say their team prayer, and Mike Tomlin is going on his little rant. Did they get together? They get ready to break it down as a team. I don't know, probably a coach or whatever says, let's keep all this, you know, stuff off social media.
Yeah.
Like, no social media. This is internal. Let's celebrate this internal. Antonio Brown's like looking at the camera like,
he's like, it's all about us. This is all about the team.
He's like, sorry, you're already on social media live. Big boost for Facebook Live.
Like, yeah.
Cool. 40,000 viewers, I think he had.
He even said it. He's like, man, I got 40,000 people watching this. You're going, yeah, I don't think that's a good thing. Please, no wiener shots.
It's not.
Thanks.
He will be reprimanded, I'm sure.
Hey, Tiki, listen, as always, a great pleasure to catch up with you every week. Thanks for taking time with us this morning. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Most certainly. Be good, guys.